There is the news read by Ayish Mbile. In our top stories, Minister Marie-Thérèse Abinaondwa salutes the bravery of widows, recognizes the important contributions in nurturing their families, and reiterates government's commitment to ensure that they enjoy the rights and social protection they deserve. Minister Joseph Ley urges state employees to rethink and improve on their practices to achieve the transformation of a public service that is more efficient, simpler, expeditious, more competent, and more accountable. And Cameroon has won its first medal at the ongoing Africa Athletics Championship in Douala. Good afternoon. We begin the news with this bureau order from the National Assembly convening the Congress of Parliament. It reads, the President of the National Assembly, President of the Bureau of the Congress of Parliament, mindful of the Constitution, mindful of Law Number 2014/016 of 9th September 2014, standing orders of the National Assembly, mindful of Law Number 2014/017 of 9th September 2014, standing orders of the Congress of Parliament, at the request of the President of the Republic, hereby orders as follows. Section 1. The Congress of Parliament shall convene on Tuesday, 2 July 2024 at 11 a.m. at the Yaoundé Conference Center to receive the oath of Madame Aree Florence Rita, member of the Constitutional Council appointed by Presidential Decree number 2024/010 of 18 January 2024. Section 2. This bureau order shall be registered, published in English and French, and communicated wherever need may be. And it is signed for the Bureau of the Congress of Parliament, the President of the National Assembly, Kavai Yigi Jibril. The plight of widows and the need for the powers that be as well as society to safeguard and advocate for their rights comes to the fore today as Cameroon joins the globe to observe the International Widows Day. Speaking to reporters, some of the widows who managed to overcome the many challenges of widowhood say women must stand up for themselves in a fast-evolving world and change the narrative. Hinged on the theme, accelerating the achievements of gender equality, our reporter Kelly Eben delves into the daily challenges of widowhood and how some of them have been pulling through. Her report.
When he died, I was 2 weeks pregnant. I lost the baby due to pressure, and the family was not the kind one at that.
When I got married, my husband refused that I should work. When he was alive, he was providing everything.
The transition was not that easy.
Losing a partner is just the beginning of a long battle for basic rights and dignity. Most widows are oftentimes stigmatized and left at the mercy of discriminatory practices which are derogatory to their well-being.
So after the cops move out, we went to the village. They forced me to wear either black or white. But then it's not normal because we were not married for even up to a year. So it was kind of traumatizing for me. They asked me to sit in the same room with the cops. But then with my religion, I couldn't accept those kind of stuff.
While some are left to grapple with the hurdles of widowhood, others like Rose Mufo, a practicing nurse, chose to conquer and change the narrative the status of widowhood tends to impose on women.
I became a widow at the age of 33. I opened a small cosmetic shop. Afterwards, the shop died down with my brothers and sisters-in-laws. They were helping in one way or the other. But I didn't actually see myself like completed because I thought I was lacking something. I decided to go back to school at the age of 49. And so many people saw it as if it was late for me. I had my O level, the advanced level, and what next? I went to nursing school. That is how I found myself in school for 3 good years. When I got out of the school, I decided to go work somewhere as voluntary worker. That's how God sent an angel. The person asked me, Madam, you come and see here and you're working for nothing. I said, I don't know the next thing to do. He said, okay, don't you know our office? Look for it and give your application there. I didn't come here to take applications. God being always at the forefront. Same day I took my application to that place, I was employed.
These widows of all ages are clamoring and dreaming that their voices be heard so that none of them should lose their status, property, livelihood due to the death of their husbands. Imagine what 1 million widows could accomplish if they felt loved and valued. Imagine.
We can still fight for ourselves if the government can do something to help some of the women, even those that have some talents. Every woman will be able to stand up and to support the family that they are moving with.
Kelly Eben in that report. Winston Lebgar, a man on the beat for his part, salutes the bravery of widows who, despite the odds, always find the strength to heal and forge on. His report.
She seemed to have been sculptured to size by the hand of an expert master of creation. But one could notice that the pain of losing her partner and the ordeal of running away from his killers had taken their toll on her beauty. Her husband was dragged out of their mud-plastered bamboo house and executed in front of the pleading woman and her wailing children. The man was hit by a hail of bullets for refusing to enlist in the politically charged armed gangs running riot in Cameroon's English-speaking regions. At 32, Margaret had been widowed and obliged to move out of the small locality in the northwest and sought refuge in Cameroon's capital city. With her twin toddlers and a five-year-old, they joined some other families in squatting in an uncompleted building upon their arrival in Yaoundé. I never stopped praying, and I was begging while job hunting, she tells me. After 3 years in Yaoundé, she now runs a small provision store in her new quarter and a little eatery where staple diets of the northwest and southwest regions of Cameroon are served. She also rents a small parcel of land on which she carries out farming. The twins have grown, and so has the big boy. They all attend school now. Like Margaret, many widows have learned how to move on. They've not broken down, even in the most difficult situations, and that's what makes them special. Yes, they come from places where being a woman is never easy, and it is even more challenging being a widow. But they are so strong that they motivate all women and even men. We encourage you. You are having a hard time making ends meet due to losing income and support from the passing away of your spouse. Sometimes, because relatives have kicked you out of the house you shared, seized everything they could lay hands on, and left you feeling guilty over your loss. We salute you for coping through your unique experiences. Yes, your devastating loss of your spouse has been magnified by the long-term fight for your basic rights and dignity. The United Nations organization is aware of your plight and has chosen June 23 to bring everyone on board so that you could win this fight, so that your days shall be bright, so that your burden may be light.
Winston Lebgar. Our guest on the news today is the Minister of Women's Empowerment and the Family, Professor Marie Theresa Bena-Undua, interviewed by George Kelong, begins by painting a picture of the challenges widows face in Cameroon.
A widow is a special person because many of these women, now widows, got married at a young age. I'm not saying that they got married at 12, but at a relatively young age. And they have lived with the husband for many years. They have had children, and they have formed a unit. When the husband dies, it is like part of the wife that has gone. And you know that in our traditions, the man carries out most of the things in the family. And many women know very little about what the husband is doing for the family. And when he disappears, even if he has been sick, it is difficult for a woman to imagine that the husband can die. And when it happens, it is a big grief for that woman. And the pain is tremendous. She has lost the person with whom she had children. And besides that pain, there are other things that can happen to that widow following the husband's death. You have some traditional behaviors that are linked to our traditional African Cameroonian traditions. In some families, as soon as the husband dies, sometimes before they even take the body to the mortuary, the woman is already suffering because the in-laws have an eye on what the husband left. And sometimes you will find that before she comes home, they have already taken the keys to the main room. They have taken the keys to the car when they had cars. Or they have just invaded the house. They don't want her to make any decision or to touch anything. And when time comes, the widowhood rites, in some places, they are humiliating and they are quite demanding. In some places, they ask the widow to give money, not 100,000, not 200, not 500, sometimes in terms of millions. I don't want to name the places of the country where it takes place. I have in memory a woman who came to me in this ministry who was wearing the black collar for over 5 years because the in-laws were asking her close to 3 million. And this woman, even to eat in her house, she had a very hard time. So it took time. She could not find the 3 million. They finally understood that it was too much for her. So you have some of these things that really make a widow's life extremely difficult. The children are in distress. If they are young, they have lost the father. And a lot of times, the trauma that the mother goes through is having an impact, is affecting those children, who are also very, very saddened. And you have all these abuses. He might not have left wealth, but he might have had a house or property, land, even in the village. And all of a sudden, they will tell the woman that she is not entitled to any of those things. So she's diminished psychologically. She's diminished economically because a lot of times the husband was the one providing for the school attendance of the children, for food in the house, to settle a lot of bills. So the woman is particularly traumatized when such a situation happens. All this happened because of poverty in most cases. But where there is wealth, it is another situation because the in-laws become very greedy. They want to prevent her from getting anything she's entitled to.
The picture you've painted, Professor Marie-Thérèse Benaoundoua, is quite dark. One would have expected June the 23rd, which is the International Widows' Day, to be given as much importance as March the 8th. What do you tell people who hold that June the 23rd is just a date on the calendar in Cameroon, whereas it ought to be given more importance than March the 8th?
George, I think let's go back to history. We are commemorating only the 14th edition. Until 2010, I think the decision was made by the UN in December 2010. So the celebration started in 2011. So it is the 14th edition. We are not at the 14th edition of the International Women's Day. So the duration and what the women were asking for the International Women's Day does not have the same impact. This is a situation. You lose your husband. And you have to be grateful to the international community to have recognized that a widow is a very vulnerable person that needs the attention of the entire community. And since the commemoration of this day, since 2011, more and more activity, more awareness raising has been going on. So we are thinking that with time, this day will become more and more important.
Professor Marie-Thérèse Abenaoundoua, what is your message to widows in Cameroon on the occasion of this year's International Widows' Day that is commemorated this Sunday, June the 23rd?
I think the message is a message of encouragement. The widow should know that life has not ended because her husband died. She has cried. She's going to cry until she dies herself. She has the obligation now to be the father and the mother. And she should not just cross her hands and continue to cry. She should fend for herself. She should try to create wealth. She can create wealth with very little. Life has changed and they just have to readjust. Get into legalized associations. When you share your grief, you know that you are not abandoned. You are not alone. You can even go there and find someone who is suffering more than you are. And you will be of support to that person. Where she can have a door open to assist her, she should go and knock on that door. And she should
get to know her rights. And I'm asking our collaborators in the field to vulgarize all the document that the ministry is producing. There is a lot of ignorance of what government has done. When they have legal problems, the Association of Female Jurists is giving them free legal assistance. That's the message I can have for them. They are not alone. Life has not ended. They can continue to cry the lost loved one, but they have the obligation to continue to take care of the family. And I think many of them can be happy when they see that the husband died 20 years ago. They managed to raise children who were maybe 2 years old to become big. And some of them who were maybe 10 years old are now working, and she did it because she had the will to do it. The state is protecting them, so they should know their rights. No one should come and abuse them.
Professor Marie-Thérèse Abinah-Ondoa, those are excerpts of a longer interview called From Cameroon Calling, which you can listen to again during tomorrow's rebroadcast of the magazine at 9:30 p.m. And this is CRTV News. Cameroon, like you heard in one of our top stories, has joined the rest of the continent to celebrate the 29th edition of the African Public Service Day. The theme for this year's event is empowering a citizen-centric public service for an inclusive and thriving 21st century Africa, a journey of lifelong learning and technological transformation. In a message addressed to state employees on the occasion, the Minister of the Public Service and Administrative Reform says serving with integrity, efficiency and transparency, listening attentively to users' needs and being determined to provide high-quality services should be the credo of every public servant. Minister Joseph Lee, who also comes back on measures taken by the government to transform the public service, encourages state employees to reaffirm their commitment to excellence by placing the user at the center of their concerns as they journey towards an emerging Cameroon and a prosperous Africa. In more news, members of the National Commission for the Promotion of Bilingualism and Multiculturalism will begin a field mission tomorrow to monitor and evaluate the effective practice of bilingualism in interactions at international airports and seaports in Cameroon. According to a press release signed by the President of the Commission, His Excellency Peter Mafani Musonge, the one-week mission will take the members to the Yaounde Nsimalen, Douala and Garoua international airports, as well as the Douala, Kribi and Limbe autonomous ports. And in the following report, Albert Njembonde examines the relevance of the field trip within the context of the promotion of Cameroon's official languages.
Like in all countries across the world, Cameroon's air and sea ports are windows through the nation, places by excellence where first impressions are made, which enjoy high affluence and interaction. The effective use of English and French is thus important for Cameroon, a country that is reputed as bilingual, but whose citizens do not always master nor use the two official languages. The members of the National Commission for the Promotion of Bilingualism and Multiculturalism go to Cameroon's international airports of Douala, Garoua and Yaounde Simalen and the autonomous ports of Douala, Kribi and Limbe to check and evaluate the effective use of Cameroon's two official languages, in line with the decree of December 24, 2019, enacting the law on the promotion of Cameroon's two official languages, a policy option of the state at the impulse of President Paul Biya, which must be respected to keep the identity of the nation and encourage the spirit of living together. The airport and seaport officials will also be reminded on the use of both languages in same measure. This is the latest of similar field trips which have taken the members of the Musonge Commission to military training schools and centers, hospitals, diplomatic missions abroad, ministries, as well as public and private business entities to gather their views on how best the culture of bilingualism could be enhanced and remind them that the use of the two official languages in Cameroon is not an option, but rather an obligation and in the best interest of all.
Albert Jembonde. In more news, commercial motorbike riders in Bamenda have pleaded with the senior divisional officer for Mezam to reverse the recent decision the administrator took, suspending the movement of bikes at night. The move was taken following rising acts of insecurity in the town, but the riders are lamenting that the action has limited their income levels and their ability to sustain a decent livelihood. The city mayor of Bamenda, Paula Chombong, has met with the riders, telling them to contribute to normalcy in the town as a precondition for the reversal of the prefectural order. Kilo Valerin Salai tells us more.
The city mayor of Bamenda, Paula Chobong, addressing commercial motorbikes and taxi drivers who've suffered the adverse effect of rising insecurity in Bamenda.
As we are driving along, you see somebody just come out and just say, come out from the car. When you come out, they put your car on flame. Passengers are no more entering taxis because they are afraid of their life.
There's a lot of harassment. The town is grounded after 6 p.m. So we are pleading that the administration help us solve this problem because the town cannot run for 8 hours only.
Recently, two people were killed and several others injured when an improvised explosive device was detonated targeting a leisure spot near the Bamenda Regional Hospital. This prompted the senior division officer for Mezam to suspend the nightly movement of commercial motorbikes, as articulated by Paula Chobong.
If the town remains safe in the next 1 month, we will formally appeal to the SGO to uplift the ban. But as long as situations are still as they were, the ban remains in force.
The city mayor of Bamenda has warned that there is no room for any taxi with separatist colors to circulate in the town.
Commercial vehicles, even commercial motorbikes, are supposed to have a color. It's yellow. So that idea of people putting their taxis in another kind of color is not acceptable in our municipality.
Meanwhile, Paula Chobong has officially handed a car to a local visibly living with disability whose taxi was burnt in the Chair Street in the Mankon area, where insecurity has sharply risen. Killer Valerie Salas, TV News, Bamenda.
We take you to the southwest, where inhabitants of Mabanda in Kumba Meme Division now have potable water after the effective launch of a water project donated by a community developer and son of the community, Reverend Dr. Jongo. The project was commissioned by the mayor of Kumba 3, Ngumba Isaac. Details with you, Kange Leon Caesar.
The project, which costs about 12 million CFA francs, has brought relief to inhabitants of the Mabanda community in Kumba, who have been longing to have potable water in their neighborhood.
Dr. Ngo, Minister of the Gospel, and we're also involved with medical missions, so we establish an NGO. So we bring medicine, bring tangible stuff to help them in the areas of their need, especially in healthcare.
According to the benefactor, the Reverend Dr. John Ngo, it is the only way himself, his family and his missionaries dubbed Mission for Christ International can give back to the community.
They were saying they need another water source borehole in this same village. The other villages don't have. The Kiliwini doesn't have. So why not share the blessing? So why not go there next and then Kurume and the rest? So we're just sharing the blessing as God provides it.
Inaugurating the project, the mayor of Kumba 3, Nguba Isaac, expressed gratitude to Reverend Dr. John Ngo, urging others to copy his example before calling on the population to manage the water scheme judiciously. Kange, Leon Caesar, CRTV, Buya.
In politics, the head of the CPDM permanent delegation for the Nyong and Kele, Minister Pauline Ihaingene, says a peaceful climate and cohesion can enable the party attain its objectives. She was speaking during an assessment tour in Matom and Iseka, while also commending them for the efforts vested in galvanizing party members and sympathizers to enroll themselves on the electoral registers. To ensure the party secures its victory next year's election, Minister Pauline Ihaingene, behind closed doors, talks with party officials to take stock of the state of affairs within the basic structures of the CPDM in those localities. Let's hear her in this excerpt selected for you by Kelly Eben.
We continue our work in the sections for the next elections coming in 2025. We want to mobilize, we want to sensitize the CPDM militant so that they will know what the government is doing for them, to convince them to vote for our party. We may have problems, but sometimes those problems are among us. So we have to go and find out what are the problems and what do we do to solve this problem. So these are not the meetings how we usually organize. So we're coming here for work, to talk and listen and see what we can do so that we will feel good next year in the elections coming.
Minister Pauline Ihaen-Gene. In sports, Cameroon has won its first medal at the ongoing African Athletics Championships in Douala. Sprinter Emmanuel Iseme earned a silver medal for Team Cameroon in the men's 100 meters final, finishing second behind Liberia's Joseph Fanbule in a highly contested race. Day three of the competition is currently unfolding at the Japoma Sports Complex, with several finals slated for this afternoon. Details with CRTV's special envoy to the champion, Marcel Fortier.
In a thrilling race that came down to the wire, Emmanuel Iseme was narrowly edged out by Liberia's Joseph Fanbule in the men's 100-meter final. The Cameroonian sprinter initially believed he had clinched victory, only to find out after a close check that Fanbule had crossed the line first. The Liberian, who secured first place by a mere 2 milliseconds, finished the race in 10.13 seconds and was pleased with his achievement.
I feel good with the setbacks and the timing today and the rain. You just have to make what God has given you. You know, so with that being said, I came out here and I ran my own race. It is my first win. I'm going to go run the 200 here, and then after that, go train back in Florida. Happy man, sure, but I also have deep respect for him. This is his home, right? So with that being said, there's no malice. I'm happy that he got second. He ran a very good race.
SMS silver medal win is a welcome relief for host Cameroon, which since the start of the competition has seen its athletes backfire in their different disciplines. Apollinaire Yinra and Raymond Kwemi ranked 7th and 8th in the men's long jump final, and the host finished 7th in the 4x400 mixed relay final won by South Africa. Choga Pierre and Jody Leka didn't fare any better in the men's 10,000 meters final, finishing the race 3 lapses after Ethiopian athlete Nibrat Melak had won the race. With the competition getting tougher as it advances, it will take something truly special for Team Cameroon to improve on their 14th place finish during the previous championships in Mauritius. Brayson, Richard Bebe, and Marcel Fortier at the 23rd Athletics Championships in Douala.
You aren't going away, Marcel. You spoke with Emmanuel Iseme Alogbede, who remains optimistic and focused on the future. Let's hear him.
It's not the position I would have wanted, but then I'm thankful to God that I was able to finish the race, second position. It's still good, make my public very happy. If you watch the race really keenly, you see I had stumbled at two positions because the first lane has some few slopes which weren't really helpful to me during my race, so I stumbled a little bit and that disturbed my race. This is one race, there are a lot of races ahead, so it's one race at a time, we stay focused and we keep doing the job.
Sprinter Emmanuel Iseme, who has just earned a silver medal for Team Cameroon. And now to end the news here, once again, are our top stories. Minister Marie-Thérèse Abinaondwa is saluting the bravery of widows, recognizes their important contributions in nurturing their families, and reiterates government's commitment to ensure that they enjoy the rights and social protection they deserve. A message delivered today as Cameroon joins the globe to celebrate widows on the International Widows Day. And Minister Joseph Ley is urging state employees to rethink and improve on their practices to achieve the transformation of a public service that is more efficient, simpler, expeditious, more competent, and more accountable. A message from the cabinet members. Cameroon joins the continent to observe the African Public Service Day today. Up next is the summary of the news in the French language with you, Fatime Bintou Akoum.
Bon après-midi à tous. Le président de l'Assemblée nationale, à la demande du président de la République, arrête. Le Parlement est convoqué en congrès le mardi 2 juillet 2024 à 11h précises au palais des congrès de Yaoundé, à le fait de recevoir le serment de Madame Harry Florence Rita, membre du Conseil constitutionnel nommé par décret présidentiel numéro 2024-010 du 18 janvier 2024. Dans l'actualité, la journée internationale des veuves se célèbre ce 23 juin. On dénombre à ce jour dans le monde près de 258 millions de veuves qui vivent dans la pauvreté, parfois victimes de violences physiques après le décès de leur mari. Au Cameroun, une veuve sur quatre déclare avoir subi le rejet de sa belle-famille et qui s'accapare parfois des biens de son défunt époux. La commémoration de la journée internationale des veuves ce 23 juin donne l'occasion de soutenir et d'encourager d'encadrer cette catégorie sociale dans la reconnaissance de leurs droits et la restauration de leur dignité. Un moment aussi de promouvoir la lutte contre la vulnérabilité des veuves en améliorant leur situation économique. Le ministre des Postes et Télécommunications, Minette Libom Lilika, préside le mardi 25 juin 2024 dès 9h à l'hôtel Hilton de Yaoundé la cérémonie d'ouverture des concertations nationales sur l'intelligence artificielle. CONIA 2024 est placé sous le thème « Quelle approche gouvernementale pour une meilleure appropriation de l'intelligence artificielle au Cameroun ?» Les assises visent à dresser une feuille de route pour une appropriation optimale des défis, des enjeux, des opportunités liées à l'utilisation de l'intelligence artificielle dans divers secteurs d'activité au Cameroun. Le RDPC balise le terrain pour les prochaines échéances électorales dans le Nyon et Kélé, région du centre. Dans son périple engagé dans le département, Madame le ministre des Affaires sociales, Pauline Irène Nguéné, vient de marquer deux escales à Matom et à Ezeka, objectif de la descente, superviser les opérations d'inscription sur les listes électorales et redynamiser la base militante. À l'étranger, au moins 42 personnes sont mortes lors d'attaques israéliennes dans les quartier de la ville de Gaza, dans le nord de l'enclave palestinienne. C'était hier samedi une frappe israélienne sur des maisons à As al-Shadi, l'un des 8 camps de réfugiés historiques de la bande de Gaza, a tué 25 personnes, tandis que 17 autres Palestiniens ont été tués lors des frappes sur des maisons dans le quartier d'Al-Toufa. Et puis sport, troisième jour de compétition ce dimanche au 23e champion d'Afrique d'athlétisme à Douala. Les finales vont se disputer cet après-midi dès 16h au complexe sportif de Japoma. Entre autres disciplines sont en hauteur et en longueur chez les dames. Les 800 mètres dames et messieurs. La Cameroun Athletic Team a enregistré sa première médaille hier grâce à Emmanuel Essémé à l'épreuve de 100 mètres. 15h38, c'était le condensé des nouvelles en langue française. Merci de nous écouter.